You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network.
Packers Talk.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
Football. Lamps is back. Football. Lamps is back. Football. Lamps is back. Football. Ah, I'm back, baby. Let's did this. And with that, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Lamps Talk and Pack. I'm your host, Chris Lampsis, coming to you once again, proudly, once again, from my basement Packer room in my home in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, here to officially, finally, kick off my coverage of the 2022 season for our beloved Green Bay Packers. Oh! Hell yeah! Training camp is officially underway in Titletown. The Packers wrapping up day four of practice yesterday, Saturday. Since they had the day off today, I figured it was time to get back on here and finally talk some football with all of you. Woo! Woohoo! Yeah! I'm gonna blow my voice out. not even 90 seconds in. Now, I can already hear some of you. Wait. You're not just gonna jump on here and not tell us where the F you've been the last 3 months. Dude, you said after the draft you'd be back late May or early June at the latest. It's almost it is August. Where were you, dude? All right, fair enough. Okay, so here's what happened. Basically, I never really had enough stuff for a full show. That's it. It's as simple as that, you know? I've had a couple of ideas I've wanted to work on for really over a year now, probably about a year and a half now, that I've kind of hinted at, you know, if you've been listening to the show for a while now. But I just never quite have enough time to really fully get going on them, you know? They're kind of extensive, though I don't want to say what they are, really, since I still hope to do them someday. And that being the case, I just figured it would be better to wait, you know? If you don't have anything to say, don't say anything, right? And then all of a sudden, camp was here. I don't know what happened. It was like, I'm going to do a show. Then all of a sudden, it's like, is camp starting Wednesday? Oh, I guess I better get going, huh? Didn't really do a whole lot the last 3 months. I did go to Door County for a week with my family recently. Wonderful times, which I'll tell you about now. Let's dive in on my vacation. No, I'm kidding. though I did, on our way back from Door County to Milwaukee, go to the Packer Pro Shop, a.k.a. the most wonderful place on earth, a.k.a. the most dangerous place on earth, for my wallet. Every time I go, I don't know about any of you, but every time I go, I'm like, all right, I'm just going to spend a little bit. I'm not going to spend too much. And somehow I walk out, and it's well over $100. Sometimes it's over $200. And I'm like, well, that's a thing that happened, isn't it? So yeah, it was a good time. One thing about the Packer Pro Shop, can I say, why do they have the temperature in there set to surface of the sun? Does anybody know? Can somebody who, if you work at the Packer Pro Shop and you're listing this, can you find out why that is? I walk in, I swear to God, and within like 10 minutes, I'm sweating like Chris Middleton in the fourth quarter of a playoff. I'm just pouring sweat. Why? I don't even know why that is. It's just always so hot in there, right? Got some good stuff. Bought a couple of items for the London game. I bought a hooded sweatshirt and then a cool long sleeve shirt. So that was good. Turns out I'm actually really excited for the London game. Who knew? I was kind of like, yeah, it's pretty cool the Packers are doing that. All of a sudden I got in there and I saw the cool stuff they had. I was like, oh yeah, I got to get some of this. Also bought a glass for the soccer match that they had last weekend. It was last Saturday night at Lambeau, right? Man City. Is it Bayern Munich? Hope I'm pronouncing that right. That was cool, by the way. Did anybody watch that? I thought that was really cool that they had something like that at Lambeau. I was surprised by how many people were, like, pissed. Like, I was like, isn't this great? And people were like, it'd be better if the football game was being played at Lambeau and they sent the soccer match back over to London. I was like, wow, I was surprised by how many people were, like, not happy that that was happening. I thought it was really cool. That was cool for the Packers to kind of expand their brand a little bit, you know? How many people around the world now know about the Packers and know about Lambeau Field that didn't know? I think that's great. I don't even mean it in, like, a business. I just mean, like, it's cool that more people know about it now, right? That was neat. So I bought a pint glass for that with the two teams on it. I think it's cool Lambeau has these events. You know, I'm still waiting for them to have a concert there that I can go to. You know, I love my concerts. Just recently, I saw Black Crowes at Summerfest, and the next night I went to the Rage Against the Machine show at Alpine Valley. Both awesome concerts. Love going to shows. I don't go as much as I used to now that I have kids, but still have gone. That's always been my dream, is to go to a concert at Lambeau. Hasn't quite happened yet. Fingers crossed, maybe Bruce Springsteen next summer. I know Mark Murphy said he's been pushing for that. Come on, Mark, make it happen. That would be great. Springsteen, the Stones, Metallica would be cool there. I don't think Mark Murphy would ever be okay with that. I can't imagine having, you know, 60,000 people chanting die, die, die during Creeping Death would be something he'd be on board with. I don't think. But, you know, maybe that'd be cool too. Anywho, now that I've derailed, let's talk about what I'll be discussing tonight. I'm going to kind of give my thoughts on where the team is at early in camp, positions I'm most focused on, things of most interest to me. I'll probably discuss some position battles, maybe. I tend to wait until the preseason games for those, though, because that's when those battles are usually settled. You only learn so much in camp practices. It's going to be a lot of fun, provided I'm not too damn rusty, which, hey, I guess we're going to find out. This isn't the season preview, though. I want to be clear on that. That's not going to come until after camp and the preseason games are over sometime probably around Labor Day. So before we get into the fun, and God, I hope you're having fun already. How could you not be having fun? I'm talking about concerts I want to go to at Lambeau. And soccer. I have to do the shameless self-promotion, which I know you love or at the very least tolerate. Twitter, Lemps, MKE, at It's Just Chris Now. The Facebook, Old Bag of Donuts, OL Bag of Donuts. The email, oldbagofdonuts, olbagofdonuts @gmail.com. My last episode I did, recapping the draft, I told people to write in, let me know where you're listening from, what you think of the show, where you listen to the show. Didn't get that many replies, didn't get any really. So that's still on. So that offer still stands if you want to do that, although who knows. For anyone listening on the wonderful Packers Talk iTunes page, leave a rating, 5 stars. Me likey those the most. 4 stars are good too. A comment. I prefer it to be positive. If it's negative, hey, I got thick skin. Let it rip. We're on Spotify. You can find us by searching for Packers Talk and looking for our logo, which is the head of the Vince Lombardi statue that sits outside Lambeau Field. We're on the iHeartRadio app as well. And if you listen on an app or a website or a service that I didn't mention, please let me know. I'd love to know. And I have to give a special shout out to Ticket King, our wonderful sponsor. You, of course, heard their ad at the beginning of the show. We're very excited about this. And I want to let you all know that you, the Lemps Talkin' Pack listeners, the Packers Talk listeners, can save 10% off Ticket King's already low prices on Packers tickets by using the code PT10 when you order at theticketking.com. Once again, the code is PT10. At theticketking.com. That's the website, theticketking.com. But act now. The offer expires August 31st. Okay, let's go. Let's dive right in now. Let's talk about Packers football being back. Oh, God, it is just so great to say that, isn't it? It just feels different when the Packers are back in season, doesn't it? You know what I mean? The food tastes better. The air smells fresher. Everything is just a little bit better, isn't it? Is this just a little bit more pep in your step? It is for me, you know, because I've got other favorite teams, right? I'm obviously a big Milwaukee Bucks fan. I'm a Detroit Tigers fan. I know. You don't come to me with your problems. and I'm a Detroit Red Wings fan. Love those teams, right? Love them. I went to the University of Minnesota. I root for my Gophers. Love them. But just nothing hits like the Packers hit, right? Am I right? Just nothing hits. It's just not the same. It's just, they get you close, but just nothing quite like Packer football. I'm sure it's the same for most of you as well. Now, the first area I want to discuss, the area that I think most fans are focused on right now, is the wide receiver position. Obviously, it's going to look a lot different with Davante Adams no longer around. Really, it's going to look more different than it has at any point in the Aaron Rodgers era. I think that's fair to say right now. I mean, think about it. When Rodgers took over, he had Donald Driver as his top guy. An established number one guy, at least, you know, initially. Then it was clear very early on that Greg Jennings was going to become Rodgers' number one guy. Jennings gives way to Jordy Nelson, who gives way to Davante Adams. But every time there's been a transition, he's always had a clear-cut number one guy to take the torch. That is not the case right now. Oh, sure, everyone is pushing the company line that Alan Lazard is the number one guy, that he's a guy ready to take the reins from Davante. And while I agree that Lazard is the de facto top guy at the moment, no, if I'm being honest, which is what you want me to be, right? You want me to be honest? I don't expect him to pick up the torch, at least statistically, in the way all those names I just mentioned a bit ago did when their respective moments arrived. That's not to say I don't like Lazard. I do. I like Alan Lazard. I like him a lot as a player. I think he brings a lot to the table. But I just don't think he's that level of guy. I don't see him as being a Greg Jennings or a Jordy Nelson or Davante Adams, right? I just don't see him being that level of player. He's got some good things. I mean, he brings some good things to the table. He's got really good size, yes. But I've always worried about his speed, even if he's lost some weight this offseason, which I think was good for him to do. You know, and then there's the issue of creating separation. Is he going to be able to get open consistently now that he's going to be leveling up and facing the opponent's top corner every week? You know, he was facing, you know, the other guy's number two corner, the number three corner. He's going to be going against the top guy every week now. Is he going to be able to handle that jump up? There's no way to know right now. There just isn't. As much as, you know, everybody's saying that he'll be able to, we just don't know. You know, I think he's a good piece to have on your roster. I'd rather have him than not have him. I just don't think he's the main piece. I just don't think he's a piece you can build around at that position, unfortunately. So you're probably like, well, all right, Lamps, who do you think will be the number one guy then? If it's not Lazard. At this point, I got to say, I'm not really sure the Packers will have a true number one guy this season. You know? I'm sure the phrase receiver by committee gets you about as jazzed up as your dentist saying you're going to need a root canal. But that's just kind of how I think it's going to go, you know? And by that, when I say receiver by committee, I mean it's going to be, you know, when we get to the end of the year, I think it'll be like, oh, Lazard finished with, you know, 850 yards and, you know, there's Sammy Watkins and he had 600 yards and, you know what I mean? Amari Rodgers had 500 yards or something like that. Do you know what I mean? It'll be kind of a patchwork. It'll be kind of a patchwork quilt type thing. I think your main hope is just that by the end of the season, a player or two has begun to hone in on that number one spot for the future, right? Be it Lazard. Maybe it is Lazard. Maybe he proves me wrong. I wouldn't mind if he did. You know, or maybe it's someone like Christian Watson or Romeo Dubs or Amari Rodgers. Heck, maybe even Sammy Watkins stays healthy and claims it. He's still on the right side of 30. It's possible, though I do doubt it because he's just, his injury history is not great. Could be one of those guys. You know, I think that's what you're hoping for by the end of the season. Is that we didn't know, but now we know, and it's going to be this guy going forward. That's the biggest thing. And if I can talk quick about Dubs, can everybody just calm down a little bit? Look, I love the enthusiasm. I love the passion. It's what makes us Packer fans. We have high expectations. You know, we get really excited. We can't help ourselves. I don't think that's a bad thing. But I just want to say, as I am one of you, a Packer fan, maybe everybody just take a step back. People, the excitement on Dubs four practices in is off the chain. It's ridiculous. People are like, oh, he's the next great 87. It's like, oh, whoa, 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 whoa. Everybody just relax. I think he's going to be good, but they haven't even put the pads on yet, you know? So let's just hold on. Let's wait till a few weeks into camp and see where he's at. And that goes for Watson, too, although I know he's out right now. He had the knee surgery recently. He's going to miss, I believe they said, the first few weeks of camp, so he'll be a little bit behind. But when he gets back, again, everybody relax, because I'm sure at some point in one of these preseason games, Dubs and Watson, both of them, are going to dust some goofy, like, number six corner on an opposition. And everybody's going to be, every Packer fan is going to be instantly pregnant with excitement. And it's like, hold on, that guy that he just dusted is going to be working at Home Depot in a few weeks. So just, again, just take everything that happens this month with the rookies with a huge grain of salt. That's my advice. Ultimately, you know what, ultimately, I got to say about the receivers, I just can't bring myself to worry about it too much. Because you know what? They still have Aaron freaking Rodgers under center, don't they? They do, even if he just got a tattoo that looks like the fold-out of a Tool album booklet. It's astrology, bro. Rodgers, you know what I mean? He's just too good. And as we know, he's way too stubborn to fail here. There's no way he's going to let his numbers or his play drop off just because Devontae's gone. He's way too stubborn, way too bullheaded for that. You know it, I know it, everybody knows it. He will 100% find a way to make this work. I guarantee it. And hey, maybe they'll even run the damn ball a little more now. One would hope. Maybe they'll run the ball a little bit more now. That would be nice. Speaking of quarterbacks, I, of course, and many others, will be focusing in on how Jordan Love performs this preseason, which will be his third with the team, but only the second where he's actually going to see action, because remember, there was no preseason back in 2020 because of COVID, so his second preseason. Either way, crucial month for him. I expect he's going to play probably 75 to 85% of the snaps. I know LaFleur said this past week that, you know, it's open for discussion as to whether or not Rodgers will play, especially with all the new receivers. I don't think that's going to happen. I think they're going to have Jordan Love play. He's going to start the games, and he's going to play, again, 75 to 85% of the snaps. This is a huge month for him. Big month. He's got to show more. Really, of everything, he's got to show more. The biggest thing I'm going to be watching for with him is the arm strength. Because so far in the pros, we just haven't seen enough of it, which is really shocking to me, right? Because that was his biggest plus coming into the NFL, was his absolute freaking cannon of a right arm. Cannon of an arm. Like a Rodgers Mahomes level cannon. But we, but if you didn't, you know, watch any of his college stuff, if you just watch what he's done in Green Bay, you'd be like, I don't believe that at all. And why would you? Because he hasn't shown it. He needs to show it. Even Matt LaFleur said in the past he wants to see Love rip it more. I definitely want to see that. Hopefully we see a lot of that this month. I want to see this arm strength on display for the Packers. And I want to see his footwork. Hopefully it's improved, because his footwork is still very choppy last year at times, I thought. You know, because by Rodgers' third preseason in 2007... we knew he could play. You know, we had seen him in the Dallas game in 06. But that third preseason in 07, I want to say there was a game. Was it against the Jacksonville Jaguars? I think it was on a Thursday night in that 07 preseason. Because I was living in Fargo at the time. I was interning as a sports reporter at the Forum in Fargo. And I think I watched that game at home where I was living in Fargo. And I remember watching that game and go, man, Rodgers, whew, we got one here. Like, the game against Dallas wasn't a fluke. Like, he's the real deal. We got something special here. Now, it's time for Love to give us, if not that same level of hope, because that may be asking for a little too much, considering how great Aaron Rodgers is and turned out. He needs to give us at least some real hope that he can be something, either in Green Bay or as a trade piece down the line. Something. Because right now, we just don't have that. We don't have that hope. Again, and I'm not saying he's a bust. I am not saying that at all. I'm just saying we still don't know. The jury is still very much out on Jordan Love. We need to see something in this next month, in these three preseason games. It's time. Finally, I'm going to be looking a lot as far as offense at the offensive line this month, starting with left tackle. Was really expecting David Bakhtiari to be back by now, weren't you? At least heading into the offseason, I was. But then OTAs came. He was still working off to the side. And Matt LaFleur didn't seem incredibly sure about how ready he'd be for camp. That was when my initial dread, that was the dread initially set in for me. I just didn't have a good feeling about it. Everybody's like, well, you know, he'll be, hey, it's okay if he's ready for camp. And I was like, I don't know if he's going to be. Then camp comes. We find out, hey, I was right. He's not ready. As he had another procedure on his knee, the one that he tore 19 months ago today, to be exact, as it is July 31st. He tore it on December 31st, 2020. So 19 months ago, a date I know I and a lot of you will probably never forget, because it's probably cost the Packers at least one Super Bowl appearance, not having Bakhtiari healthy. Now, look. I know he was on the field doing some light work for Saturday's practice, and I know he said last week he's very positive about the outlook for his knee. But because he did that interview with Cheesehead TV's Aaron Nagler back in January, and he seemed positive then too. So I don't know if anything he said last week means much. You know, I have no idea what to expect of him at this point. Honestly, I'm still not very upbeat about his future playing prospects. I hope I'm wrong. I really hope I'm wrong, because obviously he is a great, great player, a great left tackle, the best left tackle in the league when healthy. But this, I mean, we're 19 months later, and it's still an issue. That's not normal these days for ACLs. ACLs now are a 10 to 12 month thing. He's like, I can't believe how many people are like, well, you know, it just takes time. I'm like, not these days. It doesn't take this long. It's not 1986. Or whatever, you know. At this point, I mean, it'll almost be a bonus if he can play again. At least that's how I'm viewing it. We shall see. Again, I hope I'm wrong. I just don't feel great about this stuff with him. I don't. So who's the left tackle then if Bach isn't ready? Because we know Elgton Jenkins will almost surely be a pup guy, so he'll be out at least the first 6 weeks. My guess is we see Elgton sometime around Halloween. I think, and this might come as a surprise, I think Zach Tom, the fourth rounder out of Wake Forest this year, I think he's going to get the gig. I do. Look, Tom is incredibly smart. Pass protection is his strength at this point. You know, I said after the pick, he's a fluid athlete, a good athlete, moves well. I think he's really going to turn some heads in camp. I think he might already be doing that a little bit. And I think that's only going to continue. I feel confident. I feel very confident saying he's the next mid-round offensive line steal, heist for the Packers. Love that pick at the time. I only love it more now. As for the rest of the offensive line, I think John Runyon Jr. is going to be the starting left guard. Josh Myers is the center. Those two spots feel basically locked up. The right side is going to be interesting to watch. Very interesting. As of now, I'm thinking Royce Newman will take the right guard spot. Like the way he closed last season. And I think Josh Nyman will be the right tackle. I think that's how they break camp. But keep an eye on Sean Ryan, the third rounder out of UCLA. I think he could push for one of those spots. More likely the right guard spot, but that's going to be a battle to watch, you know. Does Jake Hansen work his way into that mix? He's seen some time at guard early in camp, which was a surprise to me. But maybe he's in that mix too. We'll have to see. That's going to be a big battle to watch. And aren't you rooting for Caleb Jones to make the team? The undrafted rookie out of Indiana, if you haven't seen him yet, clocks in at 6'9", 370 pounds. Let me say that again. 6'9", 370 pounds. I believe he's the tallest Packer, the tallest player ever on the Packers roster. I'm almost sure on that. Wow. That just sounds fun to watch, doesn't it? I can't wait to watch him in the preseason games. I hope he's good. I hope he doesn't stink. It's going to be fun one way or the other to watch a guy that big, though, right? Can't wait. You know, it's crazy that I have more concerns, or at least more spots I'm focusing on with the offense than I do the defense as camp begins. Can't remember the last time that happened, or really, I can't remember if it's ever happened. I don't think it has. You know, the Packers are. I mean, I've been a fan since, what, the latter part of the 1989 season when I was 8 years old. I mean, ever since then, they've been an offensive football team. That's who the Packers are. So I don't think this has ever happened before. I feel so good about where this defense is at and what they will be, both as the season starts and particularly as the season progresses. Now, I'm not sure they're going to be the 85 Bears or the 2000 Ravens or the 96 Packers or anything like that. I think maybe some people might be getting a little ahead of themselves there. But I do think it's all there for this to be one of the best 5-7 defenses in the league. In fact, I'd say there's no excuses. That absolutely should happen this year. With the talent and money that's invested in this defense and year two of the Joe Barry scheme and giving Joe Barry a player like Quay Walker, the first rounder out of Georgia this year. I mean, the Packers, in my lifetime, have never had a player with that level of raw talent at inside linebacker. Not even close. You know, so it's so exciting to think about what Barry, who's so good with linebackers, as we know, will be able to do with Walker and what he can kind of turn him into. And having a guy like Devondre Campbell there already. I mean, they're going to be so good at that inside linebacker spot. I'm just excited about the defense as a whole, everywhere. All the positions on the defense, I'm very excited. And since that's the case, can I just sidetrack a little bit? Can I just jump on a side street here and talk about Leroy Butler? Speaking of Packers defensive players, I am so happy Leroy is going into the Hall of Fame this upcoming weekend. So happy he's been inducted, finally gets his moment. In fact, I think he's going to be the first guy to speak Saturday, right? In Canton? Can't wait to watch that, you know? Normally, I got to be honest with you guys, the Hall of Fame stuff doesn't really mean that much to me. It's more of an individual thing, you know? It's cool if a guy you rooted for gets... I don't mean just in football, I mean in any sport. You know, if a guy I rooted for was on one of my teams gets in... I'm obviously very happy for him, but I've always found more joy in team success than I have in individual player success. I'm that way with MVP awards and, you know, Defensive Player of the Year and all that other stuff. Rookie of the Year, whatever. It's cool, but it's like, I find more joy in team success. But Butler, it's just different with Butler. He's just an all-time dude, you know what I mean? I love Butler. I just love the guy. I think we all do. He's been such a good ambassador for the Packers, even at, you know, as he's retired and at this point in his life now. He's just always been great. And it's so great that by getting into the Hall of Fame, because I think people think of Butler, they think, oh, he invented the Lambeau Leap. But he's so much more than that. He was so much more than that as a player. He was a true game changer as a football player. Game changer, you know? Now it's kind of common for safeties to say, well, he can blitz and he can cover and he can play the run and he can go down in the slot and all that stuff. That wasn't really the case in the early 90s, the mid 90s. You know, there were some, I'm not saying he like was the first guy, there were others, but he was one of the main guys to kind of push that forward, the idea that a safety could kind of be great at everything. You know, one of those guys that really that got people thinking that way, you know. I always think about, I don't know if a lot of people remember this, but the Super Bowl they lost to the Broncos, good times. Mike Shanahan, going into that week, was like, of all the defensive players on the Packers that we need to neutralize, Butler is number one. Not Reggie White. Not the Minister of Defense. Not Reggie. It was Leroy was the one that Shanahan said, we need to neutralize him. You know, he got that level of respect. You know, and it pissed me off that it took so long for Butler to get in, but that doesn't matter now because he's in. And I just think he's such a good dude, you know? Such a good guy. He's so much good stuff with charities around the area. He's just a great dude. And, you know, for a while, on a personal level, he and I actually lived in the same apartment complex in Oak Creek. Springbrook Circle. Or Circle, or as it's spelled, Circla. I can say that now because he doesn't live there anymore. So I'm not, like, blowing up his spot or sharing personal information. But yeah, we both lived there for a time. I don't live there anymore either, obviously. It was a trip, you know? It was a trip. You'd be at the pool. My now wife and I would be at the pool. We'd see Leroy laying there in the chair soaking up some sun or whatever. You know, you'd see him at the Speedway down the street or at the Pick and Save around the corner. That was really cool, man. That was always a trip. And he and I have actually interviewed him before, and I said on the last... Did I say I was on the last show? Or was it after he got inducted? I said I was going to tell this story before he got in, so I got to tell this story now. Again, I've totally sidetracked here, but this will be good. So as I mentioned, in my past life, I was a sports reporter. In the fall of 2008, the last gig I had as a sports reporter before I got out and moved on to a different career, I was working at the Mining Journal in my hometown of Marquette, Michigan. and they were reopening the, it was fall of 2008. They were reopening the Menards there. So they got Leroy to come up and make an appearance at this grand reopening of the Menards. And a friend of mine, shout out, one of my best friends, Chris Matt, got the information for his business contact, his like personal appearance agent or whatever. And I talked to my boss at the Mining Journal. I said, hey, can I go interview Butler? And she goes, yeah, yeah. So I called his guy, his manager, or whatever, and we set the interview up. So we go, and I'm up there waiting for Butler. And it was funny. He thought Marquette was on Central Time. So we had agreed on a time to get up there. Me and his guy had agreed on this time. So I get up there, and I'm waiting. And I think the appearance thing was at like 7 o'clock or something. So I got there at like 6:15, 6:30, and I'm waiting for him. And he doesn't show up until right before. And he walks by. He's like, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize Marquette was... I thought you guys were Central Time. I didn't know you were an hour ahead in the Eastern time zone. So I said, yeah, Eastern Standard Time or whatever. So I said, yeah, all right. I said, well, we'll just do the interview after. He goes, all right, cool. So he does the appearance, and he's signing for everybody or whatever. Now, this is right around the time, if you remember, that all the stuff was going on when Favre, he had just been traded to the Jets that summer. And there was all that stuff about Favre giving Matt Millen allegedly giving Matt Millen the Packers offensive signals. Like basically giving him the full info on the Packers offense. Which that was a big controversy at the time. And people were like, oh my God, Favre is totally stabbing the Packers in the back. Is he giving Millen all this information? This feels kind of dirty, whatever. So I'm waiting to interview Butler, and he gets done with his, you know, signing the autographs for everybody and stuff, and he comes over and he's like, he's standing, so I'm going over to, I walk over to talk to him. And he's like, as I walk up, he goes, all right, real dead serious. He goes, no Favre questions. And I'm like, all right, but I got to keep my cool, you know? So I'm like, all right, yeah, that's cool, man. Nah, no problem. Then he goes, he waits a beat and he goes, no Packers questions. So now I know he's messing with me. So I just wait a second and I go, all right, never mind. And I just turn to walk away. And he starts cracking up, and he's like, no, I'm just kidding, come back. So I go back and do the interview with him, and what a great guy. Talked to him for, I don't know, probably 15 or 20 minutes. Was really generous with his time, because he was supposed to get going after the appearance, but he agreed to stick around and do the interview, and was a really great guy. We talked about all sorts of Packers stuff. He was really excited about Nick Collins at the time, which he ended up being right about. And yeah, just a great dude, and I'm just really glad he's getting this moment. You know, he really deserves it. I can't think of anybody more deserving than him. And now it kind of feels like the story of that 96 team is complete. I know some people say, well, it'll be complete when Holmgren gets in, which I do think he should get in. But for me, having Favre, Reggie, and Leroy all in now, it feels like that story is complete to me. So it's great stuff. Thank you for allowing me to sidetrack. Back to this year's defense. I don't know. I just don't have a ton of concerns at the moment. I know they need to find their depth at outside linebacker behind Rashawn Gary and Preston Smith. If you're a person interested in wagering on sports, Gary is currently plus 7,000 to win Defensive Player of the Year this year. I kind of like that bet. I'm thinking about putting a little cash on that. That seems, you know, that's plus 7,000. Couldn't you see Gary having a Defensive Player of the Year type season? I could. But I actually feel good about the group behind those guys, you know, whether it's Tipa Nalei, there we go, Jonathan Garvin or Kingsley Enagbare, the fifth rounder from South Carolina this year. I feel like one or two of those young guys are really going to emerge and they're going to provide that depth. I don't really have any concerns there. Same for cornerback, where the Packers have, in my opinion, the best three deep in the league with Ja Money. And boy, did he get a shitload of that this offseason, huh? Wow. Eric Stokes and Roswell Douglas. But maybe not a lot after that, at least as of now. Again, I think they're going to be okay. I like the Shamar Jean Charles pick last year in the fifth. Even though he didn't really do anything as a rookie, I still like how he projects there. He's already been making some plays in camp, which only furthers that belief for me, really. You know? And honestly, that's as much as you can hope for there. No one in the league is five deep at corner, you know what I mean? If the Packers can be three, maybe four deep at corner, I mean, that's, you know, that's as good as you can ask for. Being five deep, that just doesn't happen. So, no, I really like where this defense is at. You know, other than some depth issues here and there, sky's the limit as far as I'm concerned. Okay, so that just about wraps up this episode of Lemps Talking Pack. It is so good to be back. So damn good to be back. Yeah, man. Hell yeah. We are going to be rocking and rolling going forward now, baby. It is on for this season. My fifth year doing Lemps Talking Pack. Man, time flies. Fifth year of this. Going into my fifth year. First year was McCarthy's last. My first episode was the infamous Rodgers Manee game against the Bears, the epic Sunday Night Football comeback. Here I am now, still going, heading into year five, over 100 episodes. Love it. Love it as much as I did. Love it more than I did when I first started. And that's largely because of all of you great guys and gals who listen. Thank you so much. It's great. It really is great. You're great. As for when you'll hear from me next, I think unless something big happens, it'll be after the first preseason game. Friday, August 12th at San Francisco. Oh, yeah. I'm going to be recapping every preseason game, baby. You know it. So I would think that episode will be available either Sunday the 14th, more likely Monday the 15th. So keep your eyes and your ears out for that. And of course, I'll keep you posted. Let's rock! So until next time, whenever that may be, I am Chris Lempesis. This has been Lemps Talking Pack. Thank you so very much for listening, Packer Nation. I love you, I love you, I love you. Again, it is so great to be back with all of you. Please stay safe out there in this crazy world. And remember, always and forever, go Pack!